welcome back to a new edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. It is July the 18th, 2014, episode 38 of the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gerwick, along with my longtime tag team partner, Frank D. And we've got a number of issues and topics to discuss. And what's front and center on our radar is Impact Wrestling, because last night, our own Frank D. tuned in to watch a full episode of Impact Wrestling from New York City, and he's going to break it down for us. Frank D., how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Steve. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing really well, and you put on Twitter last night that you were actually going to watch Impact Wrestling. You were going to give the Dead Brand a chance. In fact, you actually got a reply from Dixie Carter herself.
Yeah, Dixie Carter at TNA Dixie on Twitter actually reached out to me and said she appreciated the chance and to tweet her back after Impact to let her know how it was. And I was shocked and surprised, but I actually got a reply from the president of, you know, TNA Wrestling. So I watched the show last night, and I told her pretty much on Twitter to stay tuned to the podcast to hear what I had to say.
Yeah, I did read some of your tweets, and you said that it was a pretty good show. Last night's Impact Wrestling was, of course, from New York City, and they're going to be returning to New York City, I believe, in August for another set of tapings. One thing we can say in follow-up from our last podcast is looking more and more like TNA is a lock to stay on Spike TV, which we fully expected, the crossover there with Bellator. And we do know also that the TNA World Heavyweight Champion Bobby Lashley will be returning to MMA on September the 5th for Bellator, so that'll be the crossover promotions between the two. But Frank D., you really, you sat down, you gave the product a chance, and you've been critical, as I have as well, with Impact Wrestling and the lack of creativity, the lack of storylines, the lack of characters right now. After you saw Impact last night, can you break it down for us, and what is your opinion right now of kind of where Impact Wrestling is?
Well, basically, you know what, the fans in New York City last night were unbelievable. I mean, I know this. It was a series of days where TNA taped these shows at the Manhattan Center. And just to go back to that place that hosted Monday Night Raw for many years in the early days, and to see TNA going there and really, you know, just, I mean, Steve, it was just an amazing atmosphere. The fans were hyped last night. And it really goes to show you that if you have a good crowd, it makes for a great atmosphere in wrestling. And that last night was just what it was. I mean, everybody pretty much was over with the crowd. You know, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, you know, started off with ECW chants, and they were doing Bully Ray chants. They were doing Tommy Dreamer chants. Taz came out and talked about the emphasis on wrestling, how this is wrestling. And one thing that I will say is that I think the talent really worked hard on Impact to really get the product going there. People have said that it was a reboot in some ways. I didn't really see it as a reboot. I think that just because you come back with a six-sided ring, which I thought looked very good, it's not a reboot. It's just basically you're just bringing something back from the fold to try to get some momentum going, and I think they have some momentum right now. I will say that one of the things that I've been critical about with TNA as well as you is the commentary, and they need to really spice up the commentary a little bit, maybe add a third guy to the announce booth. And there's been some little reports going around that maybe Josh Matthews might be coming in there. And I think this might be a perfect opportunity for Josh Matthews to kind of, you know, hone his craft and hone his skills into Impact Wrestling and bring it onto the show.
You know, Frank, let me just say,
yeah,
as you were talking there about live crowds,
yeah,
and certainly the show is taped, and the results have been out and about. The spoilers are out there for people to read. They can check it out at Gerwick.net. I think a lot has to be said about crowds, and we've been talking about it with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, that they didn't have their traditional crowd there. They didn't have the awesome chants, this is awesome, and ROH, and that was awesome, and things that are that go along with watching a strong Ring of Honor product. And it's refreshing that TNA decides to go in a very hot area, New York City. As you know, Frank, the fans there are very rabid fans. They love professional wrestling. They're going to give you their opinions on professional wrestling and the storylines. And it's good to see that, you know, TNA's decided to run outside Orlando, maybe by force, who knows. We don't know the full story of what's going on with the Impact Zone in Orlando right now. But, I mean, they tried this trick before, Frank. Remember when Hulk was there and Eric Bischoff, and they said, you got to take the show on the road. Well, they took the show on the road, and it didn't really do a whole lot in terms of drumming up business. They had trouble drawing, you know, live shows. They would do a live show and then tape the next week's show. But I think it's refreshing to see them run an area like New York, where that is usually a very hot crowd for professional wrestling. And you know, the question I had for Frank when we were talking about this offline was, okay, they had these great tapings in New York, and now they're going to be returning in August. Can they accomplish that again? You've run the shows there consecutive nights, the last set of tapings. Now August comes up again, and can you do it all over again? Can you have a hot crowd? Can this product carry the fans to come back in August and tear down the house again? And I have my doubts, Frank, but of course I didn't see the show. I was part of the other competition last night. You know, I was watching Antenna TV, watching some reruns of Sanford and Son, one of my all-time favorite TV shows. So I have to admit, I didn't see Impact Wrestling last night, and Frank D can speak to this, that he actually saw the show. But I will say, Frank, that something that's very underrated when it comes to presentation of a wrestling show is just how much the fans are either into the product or they're not into the show. And we've seen a lot of Raw shows that are just so flat, the fans just don't react to almost anything on the show, and it just seems so dull. But it is refreshing to hear that, you know, the Impact Wrestling fans last night for the show that was taped were into the show and were really enjoying what they were seeing.
Yeah, and one of the things that I heard last night, but I haven't heard in a long time, were very, very loud TNA chants, which it's been ages since I've heard that on the product. I think that one of the things about TNA is TNA gets to really make their mind up on what they're going to be. Are you going to be TNA wrestling or are you going to be Impact wrestling? Because you can't be both.
I don't think the name Impact Wrestling does anything for that company.
I don't think so either. I think that TNA is the brand. TNA is the identity, and that's what they need to go with. I think
when I think Impact, I think of the TV show.
That's right.
I don't think of the company or the promotion as Impact Wrestling.
Exactly.
It's still TNA.
Exactly.
So I mean, if they want to get rid of TNA, they need to get rid of TNA. But I don't think that's the route they're going
to
go.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So they need to put emphasis on the fact of they need to put more emphasis on the TNA name as a brand and build on that. I just saying, oh, we're Impact Wrestling. No, you can't do that. That just sounds ridiculous, and I don't like it.
It does.
So that's one thing I don't like. I thought last night that they did a pretty good job with the production. I definitely will say, you know, over time here on the podcast, been very critical of the talent. Right now, TNA's roster is not, you know, doesn't really have a lot of depth to it. I know they're doing some things with Muda and his group, but as far as your own, you know, home talent, they don't really have that many. I definitely will say that I do see potential in EC3 after last night. I do see him possibly going on to the World Heavyweight Championship. I thought Bobby Lashley and Jeff Hardy, I thought they had a pretty good match out there last night. It was, you know, it was pretty good there. I mean, you know, Bobby Lashley really doesn't get the credit that he deserves as far as being in the ring and being a wrestler. I thought last night he carried himself. Is he TNA World Heavyweight Championship material? I don't know. I mean, the guy was on the bigger stage in the WWE. He never got to that level. I think that people will say, Steve, that even though The Rock has been the WWE champion, Rock is black and Samoan, but people say we've never had an actual black World Heavyweight champion. and I think that Bobby Lashley probably could have been it.
Well, you got to remember, Frank, when you're talking about world heavyweight material in TNA, this is a company that's had Magnus and Eric Young as champion.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And now they're trying to fix that with having Lashley as champion. Eventually, I think the belt will probably go to Jeff Hardy or Bobby Roode or any of those talents. Overall, though, Steve, as far as last night's Impact Wrestling goes, I think that they did a good job of continuing the tension between Bully Ray and Dixie, and eventually Dixie going through the table. That's the big payoff, and I understand that happened at the New York tapings. So that's going to be a big deal when it happens, because people want to see it.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, people want to see that. That's one of the things, because Dixie Carter, the character and the woman, has so much disdain. Wrestling fans just hate her. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure Dixie is a nice woman, but wrestling fans hate Dixie because Dixie is everything they're against in wrestling. She, they say she has no anything about the business. So she's an easy target, for wrestling fans. So they want to see her destroyed. And that's just what it is. They want to see Dixie go through that table. So they did a phenomenal job of building tension between that, and EC3 went through a table last night. Devon came out there and once again popped the crowd. They hooked me into watching next week. I'm not going to say yet that they're no longer the dead brand, as I coined them. I'm not going to say that yet. I'm going to say that you piqued my interest somewhat.
That's the whole idea of one episode, is to hook you to the next episode.
Exactly. So I will say that after last night, what I've seen, and I've been critical of TNA and Dead Brand and everything that I've said about them on here, I can tell you that they hooked me into watching it next week to see the follow-up, to see what's going to happen. So they did accomplish that.
And you were talking about some of the characters, the wrestlers, you were talking homegrown talent, and I was just thinking as you were saying that they had a relationship with OVW. They were working with Danny Davis and Ohio Valley Wrestling in Louisville, and they just didn't use that developmental system the way WWE would use it when you would sign someone that's not on television, take an independent talent, send them to Louisville, or back in the day they would send them either to Rick Bassman, or they had a relationship with Deep South, where you would get exposure, get experience in the ring, cut promos, work in front of live audiences, and they just didn't really do that with the TNA relationship with OVW. I mean, they basically sent like Rob Terry down there and didn't really sign new talent to learn, and maybe they just don't have the budget to do that. And then you think, why would you work with Danny Davis if you don't have a budget to help you develop new stars? But I think in the future, Frank, they really have to work on that roster. When I look down that roster, there's just not a lot there that would pique my interest. Rockstar Spud and Raisin Bram, as you would, you characterized, coined that phrase. If they're going to move forward in the fall here and they're going to continue a relationship with Spike TV, finding characters that really click with your audience. And I guess they're going to do another season of the British Boot Camp, but there's a lot of great independent talent out there, Frank. To me, like when a star leaves Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor has that knack of finding the next star that fits into the Ring of Honor product, the next up-and-coming star. So there's not a big drop-off. Maybe they just need to find somebody with an eye for talent and to find the next superstars, and rather just bring in guys from WWE that didn't really work out, is to find the guys that will work for your product. And sometimes I think they really miss the boat because, as I said, Frank, there's a lot of great wrestling talent out there. You just have to find the right talent to make it work with your show.
Right. And the one thing that TNA could do that's different from WWE is actually have gimmicks. The wrestlers could have gimmicks. The wrestlers could have actual characters that can be marketed. Because right now, WWE doesn't have that. You got Randy Orton. You got Dean Ambrose, John Cena. what exactly is Randy Orton supposed to be?
Well, you have the Demon Kane.
Yeah, stupid crap like that. You know, they just need TNA needs to just work on characters, getting those characters over. You know, and the thing that also TNA needs to work on, we've said this a million times, is promoting your show.
Yes.
To let people know that you exist. That's all you have to do is let people know that you exist. And then maybe people out there will give you another opportunity like I did. Because there's a lot of times where I just would not watch Impact. I would not give it the time of day. So they need to just really work on that, work on the commentary, like I said. Just if they got rid of a lot of the goofy stuff that they do and all that damn talking and really be about focusing on the wrestling and the in-ring product and then have storylines that actually make sense, I you know, there would be nothing negative to say.
I liked your idea that you suggested because we've been talking about their commentary situation. We mentioned Jeremy Borash, and now, you know, Josh Matthews is out there. But if you're not going to change the two you have, maybe put a third wheel on the broadcast. It would bring a different perspective. It would bring some fresh ideas to the commentary booth. Jeremy Borash has been there for a long time. I think he deserves that opportunity to be a part of the show. Maybe you can bring Josh Matthews in initially to be the backstage guy and move Borash to the main announce team. But I do like the idea of a third wheel to at least freshen up their commentary. Because I agree, when I think of their product, I think their commentary is kind of lackluster, and it brings new life to the broadcast.
Well, that would signify really a reboot. If you watch Impact and you turn it on, and it's a Jeremy Borash or Josh Matthews, or both of them on commentary.
True.
That would signal a reboot, that this is something fresh, this is something different. We're seeing something new here because you got rid of the old guard that isn't working. And if you have to do this, I mean, you can even have Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash host the first hour of Impact. And then the second hour can be Tay and Taz. Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I was never a fan of that when they did that with Nitro. I like the commentating team as is. Although in the case of Nitro, when they did go to 3 hours, it was tough, as we're finding out with JBL and Lawler, to be funny or to be entertaining for 3 hours. It's like the kiss of death, especially when the product is very stale right now.
Well, it's a kiss of death because, let's be honest about something. When was the last time JBL was funny or entertaining? When was the last time J.D. King Lawler was funny?
That's what I mean. And then you put him out there for 3 hours a week.
And then Michael Cole was at the governor in his ear, you know, shouting this, tell him about the network, or tell him about the game, tell him about this, tell him about that. He's got to constantly shill. So, you know, the commentary lacks because of that. TNA doesn't have that. They don't have the governor in their ear. That's my only criticisms about it. And hopefully those things will get taken care of.
Well, let's pick your brain a little bit. Now, I don't believe they have any pay-per-views between now and Bound for Glory. That'll be in October. That is their WrestleMania. If Frank D's in charge, what kind of directions would you go with characters, storylines, and maybe potential matches leading up to Bound for Glory?
Well, the problem with right now with, you know, TNA is the uncertainty of Kurt Angle. Because Kurt Angle obviously is a big deal in TNA. He's the biggest star they have outside of Jeff Hardy. So, you know, if Angle is on his way back to the whip, that kind of leaves you to wonder, like, okay, what do we do now? I would have had a Kurt Angle versus Great Muta match at Bound for Glory.
That'd be really good.
I would be building towards that. You know, you got to find roles for the other guys involved. I would be building towards, you know, Bobby Roode versus Lashley for the World Heavyweight Championship.
That's right. I almost forgot that Bound for Glory is going to be in Japan this year, so it's going to have a heavy influence of Japanese wrestlers on the show.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to see a Great Muta. have a prominent spot on the card somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it probably will be the main event.
And could be.
And I'd like.
I mean, they have to sell the show in Japan.
Exactly. You know, I definitely would. I mean, I'm not all familiar with all the talents that Buddha has in his on his group, but I would expect to see a lot of interpromotional matches. You know, TNA versus, you know, his group there. But the World Heavyweight Championship should be the most important thing on the card. And right now, obviously, they're going to be building towards eventually Bobby Roode getting that belt. And, you know, Bobby Roode versus Bobby Lashley could be that match. Now, are people going to actually necessarily order Bound for Glory to see Bobby Lashley versus Bobby Roode? Probably not. That's why you have Muda there as an attraction. You got Kurt Angle there as an attraction to get them to order. So that's what I would be doing. That's what I would be building towards.
I believe they still have Kaz Hayashi.
Okay.
In Wrestle One. I was trying to think of some names. I mean, a lot of the names everyday wrestling fans are not going to know. So they're going to have to educate the wrestling fans on. I mean, they're not going to see Jushin Thunder Liger come over. They're not going to see Tenzan come over.
Right.
So it's going to be some names that people are not familiar with. So they're going to have to. You know, if this relationship is going to work with Wrestle One, they have to really sell that who they're seeing from Wrestle One are major wrestling stars.
Right.
Kaz Hayashi is a former name from WCW, but people haven't seen him on American television in years.
Yeah, and if you have, and I would put, you know, a Kaz Hayashi in a ring against maybe an Austin Aries.
Be a great match.
So that's what I would do with them. You know, I would. Probably take the Wolves and, you know, have them in a match against maybe the Hardy Boys and maybe do a little TLC kind of deal.
I don't know if they still have, but they used to have Rene Dupree in Wrestle One. So I don't know if they still have him. There's a guy we haven't seen on American television in a long time.
Yeah.
From La Resistance.
Right, I remember.
Yeah, so. We'll see where they go. Obviously, the next set of tapings in August will really set up the storylines and the matches, you know, moving forward for Bound for Glory. And I think they have to, I don't know if they've really announced this, Frank, but I'm assuming that Bound for Glory will be shown on a tape delay basis here in the United States.
I believe it will be, yeah.
So that'll be a different ball of wax. But then again, they do show their specials, they're what, one night only specials on a tape delay basis. So I guess, you know, if it makes some money, although I don't know anybody that orders the one night only pay-per-views.
Yes.
I don't even know what they cost. Do you have any idea?
I think they're going for $14.95 or $14.99.
Okay, so that ain't too bad.
Yeah.
But I would like to hear them follow up on something we talked about in the last podcast, was that on-demand service.
Right, yeah. TNA.
I mean, they're
reconstructing that, but that's an idea right there that you know, Dixie and company should really, you know, think about really branching off and doing that.
Yes. Well, we talked about this is the most we talked about TNA in a long time. So
and not negative.
Right. I think some constructive criticism. I mean, right. I mean, we can always rip the product, but I mean, at the end of the day, we sell ourselves on people that tell it like it is.
Exactly.
And we're not just going to come out here and bash them for the sake of bashing them.
No.
I know some podcasts will do that.
Yeah, and they'll do it for entertainment. I'm not going to come out here and bash. I'm not going to come out here and bash TNA if there's no reason to bash them. I didn't see a reason last night to bash them.
Yeah, Frank and I don't do show prep and say, who should we bash this week?
Exactly.
I mean, we just call a spade a spade. If we like it, we'll give it credit, and if we don't like it, we'll tell it like it is. We will tell it we didn't like it.
Yep.
So, I mean, right now I would agree that there seems to be – now, what they really need to do is to build some momentum. That's – you know, sometimes when I hear, well, TNA was a pretty good show last night. Well, what do you do the next show? What do you do the next show? And what do you do the next show? Because what ultimately helped Raw catch Nitro was not Raw was good every now and then. Raw had to be good for a number of weeks continuously until eventually they had something that would catch up to Nitro.
Right.
So I'm not trying to compare Nitro or Impact to Raw, but they just need to get some momentum going, get a buzz going, have people talk. That's why, you know, when you say dead brand, I mean, essentially, nobody on the net really talks about TNA wrestling.
No. And if they do, it's
When people chatter about wrestling on the internet, it's John Cena, it's Randy Orton, and now it's, you know, Sting, Triple H, maybe The Rock is returning, you know, Hulk Hogan, etc. The general buzz on the internet wrestling community, the IWC, is typically WWE, with a few TNA wrestling fans thrown in. So they need to do something to pique people's interest. And I think, Frank D., you know, you basically endorsed last night's Impact Wrestling, and you would actually suggest fans check out Impact Wrestling next week.
I would think that if I'm telling you to check it out, you know, it's safe to do that. Because
yeah.
I've been the most critical voice out here that's been, you know, consistently knocking the product. So, you know, give it a shot. You know, give it a chance and check it out next week on Spike TV, you know, at 9, and see what it does for you.
There you go. There's a Frank D. endorsement for next week's wrestling Impact Wrestling product. So definitely, if you have nothing to do next Thursday night, or, you know, Frank, nowadays, if you can't watch it on Thursday night, DVR it.
Exactly.
Give it a shot.
Yep.
So a lot of people are, you know, we're seeing more delayed viewing, which means I don't watch the show live, but I will DVR it.
Right.
And this, you still get a chance to enjoy the product. So.
Exactly.
Well, since we talked on Monday, of course, we did the show, our podcast before Raw, and we did a lot on Sting, and the buzz is still there for Sting, and fans want to see Sting. I think it was all confirmed when they aired the promo for the WWE 2K15, which will feature Sting prominently in the game, and the reaction that Sting received on Monday Night Raw. As we said, Frank, there's still an interest in Sting returning to a WWE ring, and after some of the chatter we've been hearing, some of the interviews that Sting has done this week, to me it seems more and more likely that we're going to see Sting in a WWE ring at some point.
Yeah, all the people out there that say that Sting this and his age that, yeah, y'all can pretty much shut up after Monday night, because Sting pretty much became the biggest story of the week after a video game promo aired on Monday Night Raw, in which, you know, if you go back and listen to the actual live audio from the show, the people popped, like, big time when they thought Sting was coming out there. And then when they saw there was a video game, they booed. So there is a lot of interest in seeing Sting, the last of the WCW, to come over there to WWE. And just the man of mystery, the man of mystique, and the enigma that is Sting. People want to see that in WWE.
He did an interview that he's basically got the itch to wrestle again. He doesn't want to go out on a somber note. He wants to go out with a bang, and that's what most people like to end their career on a positive note. And names that were mentioned in one of the articles I read is, you know, potential opponents would be, of course, Undertaker, something we talked about a lot, Undertaker Sting. Randy Orton was a name that was brought up. John Cena, currently the top star in WWE, and a name that I thought would be very, very interesting if they don't go Rock versus Brock for WrestleMania next year would be Rock versus Sting. I could, you know, legend versus legend there. Although I think right now, at least kind of not set in stone, but written on paper, would be Brock versus The Rock for next year's WrestleMania. But Frank, really, any of those four names I just mentioned, Undertaker, Rock, Cena, and Orton, would pique my interest. And then I guess on Monday Night Raw this week, they actually teased Sting versus Triple H. Any of those five names, Frank, easily would be an excellent match and would be something that we have not seen and would definitely pique interest in Sting and the WWE product all over again if he books any of those five opponents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Triple H said in a kayfabe video on the YouTube that they do, that if he wrestled Sting, it would be Triple H pedigreeing him in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3. So, you know, that's the match right there, because I know, you know, the worker Triple H is, and Triple H, you know, doesn't get a lot of credit for that, but the worker that Triple H is, he can deliver Sting to a good match. There's no doubt in my mind he can make it. Obviously, the marquee match is, you know, Undertaker versus Sting. I don't know how banged up Taker is. I heard Taker is really banged up, and not even, you know, it's uncertain. But Sting said, you know, even though they did, you know, even though the streak was ended, he would still like the opportunity to wrestle Taker. Orton, you know, would be a marquee match, something for Sting to do. John Cena, of course, would be a big match for Sting. And of course, The Rock will be. Any match The Rock has anybody will be a big deal. The Rock is a worldwide box office attraction. So of course, and that's going to be a lot of revenue there. Any match that they do with Sting will be big money. It would be a big money situation. So I think that they were a little cautious at first about how much impact Sting really has left. Well, we found out this week how much he has left. He has a lot. Everybody's picking up the story. TMZ's picking it up. Everybody's talking about Sting.
And I want to get your perspective because I have a PlayStation 3, but I mainly have always really played Madden and football games on my video game systems. I've not really bought a wrestling video game in a long time. And in fact, I used to have, back in the day, they used to send me promotional wrestling video games, but I've not actually played a wrestling video game in a long time. I just wondered early on here, and we know what's going to come out sometime in October, WWE 2K15. What's your feeling on the game, of what you've heard about it? Obviously, Sting is going to be a part of this game. Maybe the improvements they can make from the WWE 2K14, and I guess just your feeling right now is about the upcoming new edition of the new video game.
Well, the new one that's going to be coming out is going to be interesting in the fact that it's going to be on not only PS3 and Xbox 360, but we're going to be moving into the next gen consoles with PS4 and Xbox One. It's going to be very interesting to see how it looks graphic-wise on the next-gen consoles. 2K14, one of the things I didn't like about that particular game was that they started charging you for everything. They charge you for online access to play other people in the WWE community. So I didn't like that. For years, it had just been, you buy the game, you spend $60, whatever on the game, and then you go on there and you play people online. Well, this year they wanted to charge you a $20 fee to do that, which I thought was ridiculous. And they need to get rid of that. I thought last year's game had, anybody who played the game knows what I'm saying. They had a really deep roster of a lot of people. It was 30 years of WrestleMania that they celebrated. So you had Razor Ramon, you had Diesel, you had two versions of Shawn Michaels, you had, NWO downloadable content pack came out. And if they're going to put Sting in the game this year, which they already, obviously are, they need to put a lot more focuses on, a lot more emphasis, I should say, on WCW. We need more WCW talent on the game. We need more WCW arenas in the game. You need to maybe even, have the NWO pack once again or something. Because, a lot of it is that people want to go back and they want to do things that they saw back in the day. So if I'm playing this game, I want to go and beat Sting. I want to beat down the NWO with a baseball bat. They need to make sure I'm able to do that. They need to have, let's right the wrong of Starrcade 97. Let's do a bunch of things. So I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty sure by October, which is my birthday month, I'm pretty sure I have a PS4. I want to see how it is on next year, but I'm looking forward to it. Especially after last year, the Ultimate Warrior was the pre-order last year for the game, and this year it's Sting. So it's going to be interesting to see if we get a Hall of Fame induction announcement as well.
So you can team up Sting and the Ultimate Warrior on the new video game, right?
And Warrior's in, which I'm pretty sure he will. I mean, imagine this, man. Imagine you have a game when you got Hogan, Savage, Flair, Warrior,
Hall and Nash,
Goldberg, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Austin. You have all these different guys. That would be unbelievable, insane. Hopefully, that's what they give us. And really, Steven Sting, and they're gonna have the Surfer Sting back in the day. You can put that Sting versus the Ultimate Warrior, and put them together in a WrestleMania match, and that'll be crazy.
Yeah, there's like different characters of Sting. That would be interesting to hit if you could have like the Crow Sting,
right?
The teased NWO Sting. So there was a lot of different aspects of his character that you could make multiple characters of Sting.
Yep.
It'd be very interesting. So
exactly. you know, in a way you can edit the rest of his night. You can make them. You can put them in a wolf pack. You can do a lot of things. So it's going to be very, very cool to see that. You know, and personally, I'd like to see them bring back Demolition into the game as well.
Well, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Did they have the same issues with music on those video games as well as we talked about with the network?
You know, the thing that's interesting about that is that this is what led to the Jimmy Pappas, I believe that was his name, lawsuit over those WCW Slam Jam songs. It was all about when they made that game a couple years ago. I forgot what it was. It might have been whatever game they did. I forgot what it was called, but they wanted to use the Bad Street USA song. So they went to get his permission to use it, and he found out that WWE had been using it the whole time, and they had changed the copyright to it and all that to say it was Michael Hayes and Jim Johnson who created that song. So that's what the whole thing was about. So, yeah, those issues occasionally do come up, but now that WWE made a deal, I think that we will be hearing the man called Sting on the game this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's good they kind of worked those issues out with the video game. Now let's work it out with the WWE Network. Because I know I saw a couple of your rants this week on about the WWE Network editing Midnight Express music and emotion music. And in fact, we've been playing songs as our intro, kind of protest songs that are being dubbed out of WWE content for the network. Let's hope that in the future, Frank, that they work some of these issues out with the music and we can get the footage back to the original way we enjoyed it back in the day.
Exactly. I mean, dubbing music is so Bush League, it's ridiculous. So I'm sick of it. And Jimmy Hart, yeah, complicated issue, right? Work on it.
Yep. Definitely work on it. I think the one right now with the Saturday Night's Main Event where you can't hear the Obsession music.
That is ridiculous, man. Especially when I've seen a commercial on the network that says Saturday Night's Main Event is on the WWE Network and they're playing Animotion in the background. Now, why are they dubbing it from the actual release? And on top of that, as of today, they still haven't updated the Saturday Night's Main Event. They haven't put the rest of them up there yet.
You know what fans should do? Something I was just thinking as you were talking there, and I know one guy who could definitely do is our good buddy the Jackal, is to reach out to these bands that are being censored and see if they can venture an opinion on their thoughts on WWE Network editing their music out of the content, because I'd like to see what Animotion thinks of Obsession being removed from Saturday Night's Main Event when it was so prominently played during the original broadcast of the series. I'd like to see some of the other bands that are being censored right now. All those ECW songs have been totally butchered. In fact, to the point where a lot of the ECW pay-per-views are unwatchable because you don't have any of the heavy metal. All the heavy metal stuff is gone. So reach out to those bands and say, or ask them, what is your opinion of WWE Network taking the original content featuring your music and putting generic garbage music over it so that we can't hear it anymore? I'd like to see some of these bands respond to that. That'd be real interesting.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So anybody, I don't know if Animotion is still together or if they have a Twitter or a Facebook, but you know, put on there, hey, what do you think of your classic song being removed from the WWE Network when fans identify that song? I mean, every time that song comes on the radio, I think of Saturday Night's Main Event. Every time Sharp Dressed Man comes on the radio, I think of Jimmy Garvin. You know, reach out to these bands that are being censored. I'm sure they'd like to have a little royalty check. It wouldn't kill WWE to cut these guys a little extra bread and put the original content back to the way it was.
Yep.
So, but it'd be a good challenge out there for tweet these bands, Facebook them, let them know. I mean, a lot of them probably don't even realize that they're being censored.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what they think of that right now. I mean, if I'm Animotion, I'd be upset that the song that was so synonymous with the opening is now gone from the WWE Network rebroadcast of the show.
And it was also gone from the Classics On Demand broadcast as well.
And as you said before in the previous podcast, that you can still enjoy in its entirety on YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something they really have to iron out. And end of August is coming up here when it's time for everybody to renew. I know, Frank D., you kind of implied on your Twitter there that you're leaning towards not renewing.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. So
it's cool for the first couple months. Oh, I can wake up and any pay-per-view I want to is up there. But you know what, man? It's like, it's not worth it anymore. I mean, how many pay-per-views am I going to watch?
And as you said, you can get the original content the way you saw it on YouTube.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, one of the things that seems to be disappearing from WWE is the big gold belt. Looks like they're going to retire that belt. And I know something that we've talked about that you thought maybe eventually they're going to bring back that belt and we'll have, you know, two world champions again in WWE. But at least at this point, Frank, the classic WCW big gold belt appears to be retired in WWE.
Yeah, the classic WCW belt was retired actually in 2001. You know, if you want to be real about it, you know, it's been gone for years, and they brought back the World Heavyweight Championship, the belt, in 2002, gave it to Triple H, and they were running with it, you know, all this time. And on Monday, they decided to go ahead and get rid of it, and a lot of mixed feelings about that. I for one, personally think that Big Gold looks a hell of a lot better than the current WWE Championship belt they're using. I think the WWE belt they have is ugly. I think the last two WWE Championship belts there have been ugly, really. I mean, the other one looked like a damn hood ornament that they were using. It really sucks because it's a end of an era. It's the end of a lineage there. The last remnant, really, of the NWA and WCW ended with Ric Flair walking out, you know, walking backstage with Monday Night. There was no fanfare. There was nothing, you know, no real proper send-off other than John Cena telling Ric Flair to keep it and run into the ring. And that was it. That was the last time you saw it. And then somebody actually confirmed on the WWE website that it's now in the retired belts list. It sucks.
You know, I know we've said this before. We're not fans of the WWE Tag Team Championship belts. It's like pennies. I'm not a big fan of the IC Championship. I'd love to see them go back to the old gold belt they had in the 80s when the title actually meant something.
Yeah.
The Randy Savage belt they had back in the day.
Right.
But, of course, they won't do that.
No.
Unless they have a big deal with Replica. Although I bet a lot of those older belts are probably popular on Replica, that you can get those classic belts.
Yeah, I would assume they are. But, you know, there's a big issue going on right now with the Replica belts. It's a big, you know, lawsuit that really people aren't. Not so many people are covering it, but there's been a huge, WWE has really been like laying down the law on replica belts. And right now, I think the only place to get a replica belt is WWE.com. A lot of the other independent places, like there was ANJ's belts.com or whatever. Yeah, they have it on their website that says that the only inventory they have is what they have, and they're not going to be getting any new belts until the lawsuit with WWE and the manufacturer has been resolved.
Well, I can say I've never bought a replica belt, but if the listeners out there have and you can share your experiences, I've seen a lot of wrestling fans, you know, on their Facebook page. They just have, you know, they hold up all these championship belts that they bought. Tell us your experience. Are you having trouble finding the replica belts? And you know, what are your favorite replica belts that you've purchased? Like I said, I really like the 80s Intercontinental Championship belt, and I really like those World Tag Team belts they had in WWF back in the 80s, the Hart Foundation belts, the British Bulldog belts they had back in the day. Like you said, the current belts for the Tag Team Championships, not only do the titles mean nothing, but those title belts are so ugly.
Yeah.
Why would you want them?
Yeah, they are two of the ugliest championship belts I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Damn pennies.
Yeah, the penny belts.
Yep.
But one thing, it looks like they've maybe picked up on the suggestion you had watching Raw this week. It looks like maybe they're going to break up Cesaro and Heyman. Maybe that relationship, they realize that relationship's not working and maybe going a different direction right now.
Yeah, it all has to do with the fact that Brock Lesnar's coming back to television. So they want to move Heyman away from Cesaro right now. They should never have put them together in the first place. I think that Cesaro had a lot of momentum after WrestleMania 30, and he won that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. The fans remind him, then he announced he's a Paul Heyman guy. And then ever since then, his momentum has just gone away. It's been every week that, you know, the fans are just not allowed for him anymore. They're sticking with this god-awful theme music he has with the sirens going off. And it's like, you know, see, when I hear sirens, I think of Perry Saturn. So it's just not a good fit. And I think that, you know, when you have Jack Swagger, who I've been very critical of, this guy is more over than Cesaro right now, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's surprising the way, I mean, Cesaro is definitely, at least at one point, was a hotter star, and it looks like he may be delegated, as we talked about in the last podcast, he may end up winning the Intercontinental Championship by default. We got the poll currently up at Gerwick.net. If you listen to this on Friday or during the weekend, you can vote on who do you think will end up with the Intercontinental Championship at the Battleground pay-per-view. Of course, they're doing the Battle Royal to crown a new champion. And right now, Frank, Cesaro is winning this poll, and I definitely think he's the favorite, and I would think he's going to actually win it on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because the Intercontinental Championship belt is just a curse for disaster.
I think it's more of a deterrent right now
than
something positive. But you can vote on that at Gerwick.net in a poll we just did run. I know it was near and dear to Frank's heart, because you've talked about this before. Is, you know, why not reform the Nation of Domination? We asked fans if they'd like to see a new Nation of Domination here in 2014. It was almost 60% said they would, Frank.
Yeah, well, so fans are wanting some type of faction other than DX or Evolution. You know, they want the Nation. They want NWO. It's pretty obvious. So give the fans what they want.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the pay-per-view. If you go back to our Monday podcast, we were getting into the pay-per-view, talking about the matches, and we were saying there's at least three matches on this show that looks pretty good. That'll probably be worth your $9.99 investment for the month to see Battleground. Since our last podcast, they have added Cameron versus Naomi, and they've also added Jack Swagger versus Rusev. So it looks like there's eight matches that will be on this pay-per-view. Frank, is this a card that overall you're kind of getting excited to see on Sunday?
Absolutely not. I never get excited to see any of their special events. It's not like we're in 1987 or 98 or 99. These shows are not worth watching. You know, I'm a network subscriber. That's the only reason I'm watching. If this network had never came along and the pay-per-views were still going for almost $6, I still wouldn't order. There's no point to ordering it. It's a joke.
I have to really question. I think this is the second pay-per-view in a row. They have two women's matches on the show.
Well, it's the second pay-per-view in a row as well where there's been multi-man in a match for the WWE Championship.
True.
So it's the same thing. And then on top of that, you're putting a Battle Royal on the show. How many damn Battle Royals have we seen in the past 2 months?
Especially to crown a new IC champion.
Right.
That's the best way to crown a new champion is just put 18 jabronis and a couple of overstars into a battle royal and say somebody ends up with a championship?
Right. So, I don't have any excitement to see Battleground. I really don't care, you know, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because we already know the outcome is going to be John Cena. The match is going Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, so why would anybody think that the outcome would be any different?
No, that's going to be the lock of the century, is John Cena winning, because I think it's all but set up. I think it was promos he actually released for SummerSlam saying it's going to be Cena versus Brock Lesnar to headline that pay-per-view.
Yep.
So
that's right.
So Cena's going to end up, you know, leaving Battleground as the champion. And I don't know, Frank, how do they drum up interest in that match? I mean, it is something that we haven't seen this in a while, but how do they really spice up Cena versus Brock Lesnar right now? How do they make this match really interesting going into SummerSlam?
See, I don't...
Or can they?
I don't think they can.
Yeah, that might be the bigger question.
We saw this match already. I remember seeing Brock Lesnar lay into John Cena and bust him wide open. But then Super Cena comes back and beats him. You don't have my interest in that. Because I already know the outcome is going to be Brock Lesnar winning the belt. So the next 2 months are going to be very predictable.
Let's talk about this, Frank. We have pretty much confirmed. I guess the reports were pretty accurate that CM Punk's contract with WWE would expire sometime in July. It appears they have his contract's expired. He's kind of he's disappearing from the WWE website, put into alumni section on WWE.com. So all the reports seem to be accurate, Frank, that CM Punk, or at least right now, is done with WWE. I guess the real question is, you know, where does he go from here? Does he take a break? He's basically been on a sabbatical since, what, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And maybe it's good. I mean, he took a break. Maybe he's healed up. He got married to AJ Lee, so he's had a productive 6 months here. But at some point, I do expect CM Punk's going to return to a WWE ring if he wants to still make some more money. And we've heard reports that CM Punk has made money. He's put money in the bank. Yeah, money in the bank. Yeah, he put some money in his own bank that he doesn't really need the money right now, which is definitely good. I'm glad to hear that, you know, some of the wrestlers are putting money away and saving for a rainy day. But I don't know, Frank, as we move forward here, do you see CM Punk taking a year off and then maybe coming back at WrestleMania? Or do you – something that we were talking about, you know, offline is – you know, he's very upset about the WWE Network and the payouts as related to the WWE Networks. Do you think this might be a situation that ends the relationship between CM Punk and WWE?
I mean, I you know, from what I understand, there haven't been any real conversation between the two sides lately anyway. So I think Punk is going to be gone for about maybe a year. And if he decides to come back, you know, to wrestling, you know, if he wants to make money, it's going to be WWE. But right now, a lot of guys aren't making any money because of the network. So you really can't tell. You know, if Punk wants to use his name and go back to Ring of Honor and help them out, or go to a TNA, you know, that's going to be remaining to be seen. But I think that Punk was burnt out. He really didn't want to be a part of the whip. So he got out while he could. Contract is expired now, and they've removed his merchandise. And time will tell what Punk does in the end, but I think eventually he'll probably come back.
I think he'll come back, too. I don't see him going to TNA. I just don't see him fit there. I mean, he was there at one time. It didn't work out. I think it'd be feel like he's going backwards to go to TNA.
Yeah, well, the thing about Punk in TNA is that Punk was there a long time ago, back in the early days of TNA, the NWA days. So it's a much different beast now. But, you know, Punk is a bigger star than he was back then, too. So Punk could actually Punk could actually elevate a Ring of Honor. He could elevate a TNA with just him being there. Because all those CM Punk fans out there that feel alienated that he's gone, the moment they find out that he's not a TNA or a Ring of Honor, that might give those companies breathe more life into him.
Yeah, I don't know the full story of how his relationship ended with Ring of Honor, but I kind of, if he was going to go back to either TNA or Ring of Honor, I kind of see him maybe going back to a Ring of Honor and help them out at this point. I know a lot of his friends have come from Ring of Honor, have gone to TNA and WWE. Obviously, Ring of Honor had just ran a traditional pay-per-view, and maybe they'll do one in the fall. I could definitely see him coming back and possibly doing something with Ring of Honor, maybe doing one match and having the comeback and maybe working with the champion, Michael Elgin, or Adam Cole, or possibly AJ Styles is a name that I thought of as far as a kind of a dream match. You know, we were talking about dream match scenarios with Sting. And, you know, how about a dream match with Ring of Honor with CM Punk coming back to work against AJ Styles, coming back to work against Roderick Strong again? I think those would be some great matches. And yet, I don't know, Frank, the question really would be is, would he be open to something like that? What is his mindset right now? It appears to me, really, in watching and following his Twitter and things, that he's kind of distanced himself from wrestling. And if he doesn't really need the money, he doesn't need to return to TNA or Ring of Honor. And I kind of agree with what you're saying there, Frank. Maybe he just takes a year off, and in 2015 we'll see the return of CM Punk.
Yeah, Punk will come back when he wants to. I mean, he's at a situation right now where he saved all his money. He doesn't need wrestling. Wrestling needs CM Punk before CM Punk needs wrestling.
Yep.
So he'll come back whenever he's ready to come back. He'll come back if he really gets the itch and the neck to want to go out there and compete. Right now, he don't have that.
maybe the other wild card in the equation would be Double J. Does Double J spend the money and pull in a big name like CM Punk to debut in his new company?
You know, the thing about CM Punk, you know, debuting for a Jarrett's company, well, first of all, we need to know what television station we can find Jeff Jarrett's show.
Yes, that would help.
Okay, so, you know, I'm not even going to even entertain that right now. You know, I'm entertaining the fact that, you know, TNA is on Spike, and Ring of Honor has their Sinclair Broadcasting Channel that they're on. Jarrett's group doesn't even have that.
Nope.
So I'll get back to that at a later date once we find out more information about what Double J is doing. Because right now,
nothing.
No, it's not doing anything.
They have a logo and they have a T-shirt.
Yep.
That's all they have right now. And I did see a report that they're talking to potential networks that have never aired professional wrestling, which then opens up a big can because there's a lot of them that have never aired professional wrestling.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm with you, Frank. I'm gonna hold off comment on Double J until he. You got to show me something. You just can't say join the force. Show me something. What are you gonna do? What shows are you gonna run? What venues are you gonna use? What talent are you thinking about booking or coming to grips with in terms of signing contracts with people? Maybe it's still too early for that, but. I don't know, Frank, it's middle of July, and you think if they're going to be on in the fall, that we would hear something by now.
Yeah.
As far as a television contract, so.
Yeah, and that's just, like I said, man, I'd like to know exactly what the hell is going on.
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know.
Yep.
Well, I want to mention here as well is that next week I plan to start the hottest 100 women of wrestling all time. Now, this isn't just for 2014. We're going to do something a little bit different this year, and we're going to try to find out who the fans think is the hottest diva all time in wrestling. And there's going to be women in this field that were valets. There's women in this field that were wrestlers. Some of them were backstage interviewers, Nitro girls, etc. But I want to establish that these are women in their prime. That we're not judging these women in 2014. We're talking about women when they were at the peak in their respective wrestling careers. And we talked about this on the last podcast, Frank. We got into some names. I want to mention some other names that will be in this tournament, and Frank can give us his 2 cents if he'd like as well. But Molly Holly, you know, Frank, when I think of you know, really hot divas back in the day, and maybe she's more on the cute side than the hot side, but I thought she was very attractive back in her WWF run, and in fact, in her WCW run as well with the Macho Man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, Serena Deeb, she was in WWE with CM Punk's group. She'll be in the tournament. One that I don't think gets a lot of respect for beauty, but I thought even though she was really big and very powerful, still very pretty, was Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, Beth Phoenix, man, had that look about her. Like, it was sexy, but
yeah,
she could kick her ass.
That's a tough one to sell muscles and sex appeal.
Yep.
Because generally when you think of muscular women, you think of, you know, these big bodybuilders who are not known for pretty faces, because usually pretty faces don't get into bodybuilding.
Exactly.
Michelle McCool, of course, Mrs. Undertaker will be in this tournament. We have Karen Jarrett, Karen Angle, formerly, in this tournament as well. We talked about Trish Stratus, Rebe Sky, who's now with Matt Hardy. Another, there's going to be a lot of Playboy models in this tournament. We talked about Sherry Martel. Here's one I think people may forget about. Remember Cherry in WWE?
Yeah, matter of fact, I do. She's with Deuce Domino.
Right. Had that cute roller skate, a skater-type gimmick. Before mentioned, Dixie Carter's in our tournament. So we'll see how far Dixie can make it in the Hot 100. We have a couple other names here I want to mention, and we'll talk about this more next week as well, as we'll kick the tournament off officially next week. We have SoCal Val is on the list. Winter in TNA. Queen Charmel is in the tournament.
Yep.
How far can the Queen go?
We'll see. I don't think she can go far enough.
Taylor Wilde, remember her from TNA days?
Vaguely.
Yeah, she'll be in the tournament. We got Mickie James is in this tournament. Gorgeous George from WCW time, back to Randy Savage's days. WCW.
Yeah, she was hot. Two reasons.
I think there might be two reasons for a lot of these potential divas in this tournament.
Right. So, and once again, to reiterate out there to the listening audience, these are people that I would screw.
So it depends on Frank's meter,
exactly.
One way or the other.
Yep.
Is they on the radar for that, or on the radar, or not on the radar at all? So I think Frank's Vody might fall in line with that train of thought.
Exactly.
So we're going to start the tournament next week. We'll put it up after we take down the polls for Battleground. Of course, Sunday is Battleground, and you can check out all the live coverage of the pay-per-view. If you're not going to order the pay-per-view, or you're not going to watch it on the network, or if you don't have the WWE Network, I think a lot of us just assume everybody has a network, but Frank, there's a lot of fans out there that don't have the WWE Network right now that maybe are considering it, but right now, I know every time we put up something on Facebook about this was cut out or this was edited, people will say, well, I'm glad I'm not subscribing. This is why I'm not subscribing. So there's a lot of wrestling fans out there that are not subscribed to the network.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't want to pay that $10, but they'd rather pay, $60 for a pay-per-view.
That's true. So if you're not going to order the pay-per-view, or if you just like to follow along with us at Gerwick.net, provide some comments on the pay-per-view, the individual matches, you can do that on Sunday night. And, of course, after that, we'll have the polls up, the best match, and what you thought of the pay-per-view. And then after that, middle of the week of next week, we hope to launch the tournament, the Jackal. I want to thank the Jackal for putting together the graphics and the brackets for the tournament. It should be very interesting, and we'll find out who fans think is the hottest wrestling diva in the history of professional wrestling. And again, Frank, anytime you do a list like this, there's going to be people that will be left off the list. You know, when I was putting this list together, I was writing down names, and at the end of the end of the list, you just got to people are in and people are out.
Exactly. It's not, it's not.
Can't have everybody in.
Can't have everybody in. It's the elite. So.
The elite. Best of the best.
Yep.
Right. So we look forward to launching that tournament next week at Gerwick.net. And of course, Gerwick.net is your source for all your pro wrestling news, your polls. Go vote on the tournament, what do you think is going to end up with the IC Championship at the Battleground pay-per-view? We can vote right now. And I guess, Frank, in terms of voting right now, well, we're midway through the month of July, and unfortunately, JYD's voting is all the way down to 50-50 right now. So it looks like the Junkyard Dog will not be inducted in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame.
And that's sad.
That is kind of sad.
But apparently, people just don't see him that as that big a star. So
yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah.
That would be a really good, interesting subject for one of those documentaries on the WWE Network. Did they ever do a JYD DVD?
They have a JYD Legends of Wrestling, I believe, on there.
Okay, so that, go back and check out. Check out his Mid-South stuff. Check out his WWF run.
I don't think they're going to have the Mid-South. This Legends of Wrestling, it was produced way before WWE got the Mid-South library. So.
Yeah, I mean, they have a Vicky Guerrero special before they have a Junkyard Dog special.
Right.
But, again, go back and watch some of those Saturday night's main events they currently have on the network. I know he's on a lot of those shows as well. But, I mean, really... I mean, in fairness to JYD, he was essentially the number two babyface in WWF after Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
Yep.
So,
yeah, this is a missed opportunity there.
Yep. Definitely agree. I want to also mention that if you want to email us, we are at GerwickReport@Gerwick.net. We're available on social media. Tweet us, retweet us. Frank D. always makes some interesting comments during the week on what's going on in professional wrestling. You can follow Frank D. at RealFrankD. D-E-E on Twitter. I'm on Gerwick at Twitter. Steve Gerwick for the anti-NWO, the real NWO that we are trying to fight on Twitter. And I'm also on, I should say, the Gerwick Report is on Twitter. Gerwick Report, all one word. We are on Gerwick.net on Facebook, and I'm Steve Gerwick on Facebook as well. So, Frank, there's a lot of ways for people to reach out to us, and we always appreciate the fans spreading the word about this podcast, letting others know that we put on a podcast where we tell it like it is, and we don't sugarcoat anything on the Girl Group Report podcast.
Nope. Don't have time to sugarcoat it.
That's right. We tell it like it is. So, again, Frank, I enjoyed this podcast and looking forward to the next edition.
Yep. Always, man. Always.